SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
Why do people want to be at work? To feel heard, appreciated, part of something, and to know there's a career path for everyone. Inclusive workplaces are linked to increased innovation, productivity, and employee satisfaction. Make your organisation a place where people want to be. For inclusion and diversity training, visit inclusion-program.com.au.
Welcome to the 69th Emmy Awards. Well, what a year it has been for television.
And this Emmy.
And the Emmy goes to...
Welcome to a special post-Emmys episode of The Playlist. I'm Fiona Williams, and I'm joined by my co-host, Nick Bassine. Hey, Nick.
How's it going?
Very well, thanks.
I'm Nick Bassine, and I'm joined by Dan Barrett.
Hi, I'm Dan Barrett, and I'm joined by... it's the end of the row.
That was the end. We're having a special post-Emmys, as you mentioned, episode where we're going to debrief on what we liked, what we didn't like, what we thought of the show, what we're glad won. We're obviously glad that all SBS-related properties won what they won. Is that not obvious?
We should probably talk about what did win. The Handmaid's Tale came up gangbusters.
Big winner.
Yep.
Yeah, so they end up picking up 8 awards throughout the evening.
Including the biggie at the very end.
Yeah. Best drama series. Got the award for Elizabeth Olsen. Elizabeth Olsen. That's the wrong Elizabeth. No, the lovely Elizabeth Moss end up winning for Best Actress.
I have to say, I'm not being a company man here, but it felt like the right choice in all, if not most, of those categories.
So I was predicting it would be either Stranger Things or Handmaid's Tale. Stranger Things, because there's so much love for the program around right now. So I thought that might just kind of get a bit of a Guernsey. But the show that really speaks to the political moments is The Handmaid's Tale, obviously.
Yeah.
And so a betting man would put money down on Handmaid's Tale, and it definitely came through.
I would have also bet Stranger Things because that's the only other show that is as big as The Handmaid's Tale.
Well, that's it. So it's a situation where Game of Thrones would obviously win, but it didn't go to air during the nominating period for...
Which is weird, is it?
Well, because they delayed the program. So it goes from June to June for the Emmy Awards.
So strange, the rules. Maybe we shouldn't get into it because it could take half hour.
Oh, well, yeah, that's not.
It's not the complicated rule. It's just that there's 12 months of voting and they have to pick a start date and end date at some point.
I still don't understand.
So within that 12 months, it didn't air at all?
Yeah, because Game of Thrones usually airs really early in the year. But for some reason this year, they decided to delay it until, you know, much later into the year. So it just fell outside of that nominating time period.
What did you think of Anne Dowd's speech?
Oh, that was really lovely. It was really heartfelt. This is Anne Dowd for Handmaid's Tale, of course.
Yeah.
Much nominated and finally won. So she, made her moment. You could tell that the emotion was real.
Yeah, it was nice.
Good on you, Anne.
I like it when people, she was also good in The Leftovers, although she wasn't in much of the last series, was she?
Was she in that last series?
She might have just a brief appearance, maybe. But I like it when people are good in other shows and get recognized. That's nice. It's a nice feeling.
And you can sometimes you just can pretend it's for the one you really loved.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it's not for something that you want.
Yeah, she's been recognized before. So she's been nominated 7 times and finally got the award on this one. I've been a big Dowd head since I saw it in Compliance, if you remember that film from a few years back.
At SBS On Demand now, currently, as we speak.
Big Little Lies won for Outstanding Limited Series. It beat Fargo, unfortunately. It's very sad. Feud, The Night Of, and Genius, which I had never heard of until.
Genius was a National Geographic program about Albert Einstein.
Jeffrey Rush as Albert Einstein.
Mm. Yeah, well, I know it now. But I didn't before the Emmys.
Well, it didn't win anyway.
Yeah. I was happy for it to win. I really like... Except I don't like it beating Fargo, of course. That's not nice. But Big Little Lies is a good show. I like
it. Nicole Kidman also won, beating out most of the other cast. No, beating out Reese Witherspoon for Outstanding Actress.
Well, that was always the concern from a voting standpoint, and the idea that with both Nicole and Reese nominated, that Queen Reese and Nicole may have just knocked each other out.
Split the vote. Much like Jessica Lange and Susan Sarandon both nominated for Feud.
Exactly. I actually thought that might be an entry point for Carrie Coon, who we've all loved in Fargo and The Leftovers.
Yes, great in The Leftovers.
And my thinking was, because people loved her in The Leftovers, and she didn't get nominated for that, obviously, that maybe that might be enough to get her sort of, put the head above the other's shoulders.
She's great in Fargo, but The Leftovers is her big, especially this last series, is her huge moment. It seemed like weird that she'd be nominated.
I don't know how you get nominated for Fargo when you were that good in The Leftovers.
Yeah.
I mean, she was very good in Fargo, but the Leftovers performance was something I've never seen anything like that before.
Yeah, it was something else.
And another big winner, and also another big SBS winner, Atlanta. So Donald Glover.
Oh, that's right,
yeah,
of course.
Big, big winner. And, you know, made history. Well, he was the first person of colour to win the Emmy for lead actor in a comedy in over 30 years.
Also, I'm wondering how many people have won that award and also won for best writing. Mm. Oh, sorry, best directing he got.
Mm.
Yeah, I didn't even realise that he had directed those episodes. That was really great. I think they should have won for best writing, but I liked Aziz Ansari and Lena
Waithe
yeah. winning.
But, like, that's a fantastic episode of TV. Like, that episode was the coming out story where it's about her sort of going through her life and the relationship she had with her parents and the Aziz character.
Mm. Right.
Great speech as well that she gave.
Oh, yeah, fantastic. We should point out the episode that Donald Glover won for directing wasn't a pilot episode, because a lot of the time it's the pilots that get put up with these first season series. But rather it was an episode, I think it's episode 7 or 8 in the series run, which is the one that set up like a fake Charlie Rose style talk show.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like with a black background.
And yeah.
It was the episode where it's just interviewing the
It's a great rapper. Episode.
And all of Atlanta is still available at SBS On Demand. If you missed it first time around on Viceland, you should definitely watch it. I love that program, and I'm really happy that it won.
Shouldn't it have won for best comedy series? What else was on there?
Well, Veep was always going to win that, probably.
Right.
Yeah. I was hoping that
was always probably.
I was hoping Atlanta might have won in the idea that it felt like the show of the moment. But yeah, I mean, it's hard to get Emmy voters to not just vote for the same people they have over and over again.
It's the Frasier kind of
exactly
issue, isn't it? And Modern Family typically wins too.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus won, but in fairness, like, it's hard to say that she didn't give the best performance, because she really did. She's amazing.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
She's won the last 5 times, apparently, and
She's got an award for the most number of Emmys won for the same character in the same series.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing the only other person who'd be close to that would be David Hyde Pierce from Frasier.
She's tied with Cloris Leachman.
Yep.
Oh wow.
For 8, that's the most. Total of any for any performer.
She got some for Seinfeld too?
Yep.
Jill will be Travis and not Cloris Leachman.
She could have, should have.
Yeah, Cloris Leachman just yada-yada her way into it.
And The New Adventures of Old Christine. Apparently they gave her an Emmy for that as well.
Yeah, there were some lean times in the early 2000s for comedy.
Yeah, but on that, this brings us to the broader point that regardless of if the show you particularly love won or not, I think overwhelmingly the message was things are really good in TV land at the moment. You are really spoiled for choice. And I guess that was the theme of Stephen Colbert's opening number of The World Looks a Little Better on TV. Even Russian espionage is better in the Americans. That was a good gag. What did we think of the hosting?
Colbert, I really enjoyed Colbert through it. He seemed like a non-presence once we saw the opening monologue. He popped up once or twice, which is usually pretty common with these award shows, that the host isn't really hosting for long.
Yeah.
Even so, I usually see them crop up a little bit more and engage with the audience more than Stephen did. Mm. So that was a bit disappointing, but I thought he was fine. Like, the musical number was actually sort of fairly fun. I didn't think it was great. It didn't really knock my socks off, but it was serviceable and nothing embarrassing happening there, which is half the challenge.
Well, what do we think of Sean Spicer popping up?
I think it's fine. You can't, at an awards show, it's impossible to do any incisive comedy or satire. I mean, it has to be kind of crowd-pleasing and broad and goofy. And so, you know, that was kind of a nice stunt, but things are pretty terrible. And I think it's hard. It's even hard to get a release out of some of those kinds of laughs.
Taking politics out of the equation of seeing Sean Spicer being celebrated on stage like that, I think the interesting thing is that having him up there is better television. So the audience, I think, you could see in the actual show itself, people were surprised. But like when we were watching it next to each other, we're like, look, it's Sean Spicer. We have that. Whereas if it was, I was thinking maybe like Hillary Clinton, because she's got a book that she's promoting at the moment.
Oh, right.
If she came out, that would just felt a bit lame.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, there would be no reason for that. Yeah. Well, obviously it was a divisive moment. You sort of see people laughing and doing a split screen of Melissa McCarthy and Sean Spicer. And then you see other tweets of don't normalize him. He's a mouthpiece of the regime, which
he did a bunch of horrible stuff while he had that job.
So making him cute right now, I don't know. But also, was it ultimately just tweet bait for the sitting president? If he got so upset about Meryl having a go at him at the Golden Globes, what's he going to do with a former employee bringing out his revolving podium?
Yeah, playing with the lefty liberal elite.
Do we know if he tweeted?
I don't know. What's the time?
The president?
As of this recording, no.
Okay.
We'll keep you updated.
Someone just speaking about the host, I was actually really interested in the announcer. So usually they've got just some boring announcer just sort of, you know, running through it. But they decided to spice it up a little bit with a guy named Jermaine Fowler, who I don't think he's really a name yet. He's in this not really so great CBS sitcom, something rather Donuts. Superior Donuts, I think it's
called.
That
is definitely a not great sitcom.
It's him starring with Judd Hirsch from Taxi.
Judd Hirsch.
Yeah. I know, and yet he's in this.
Unbelievable.
Not a great show, but I really like the energy he brought to it, and he's probably the best announcer I've seen on an Emmys since maybe John Hodgman did it back in 2010, and he had these really wry, funny, you know,
he certainly brought some energy to it.
It's good energy, but it's also sometimes just didn't feel right. It felt like when we're going through a boring awards show and this guy who's trying real hard to get everybody hyped up is, and yeah, and that was the Handmaid's Tale. Woo!
Give it up.
It just doesn't feel, it didn't feel right.
It was unusual, but, and then they had a little red carpet as you were coming off with some paparazzis there. It was strange.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's the Emmys. I'll allow it.
I don't mind trying new things.
The nomination for reality show, when they actually awarded that, I thought was a bit interesting. Because the way they work the reality competition show is that usually The Amazing Race always wins it. This time through it was The Voice. And the thing with these shows is, one, it's weird watching in Australia because a lot of the US reality shows don't really travel in the same way that you get with the drama and comedy shows. But also, as a category itself, there's no variance in who wins it. There's only, in the, I think, 17 years they've been running the category, there's only three different shows that have ever won that.
What are those three shows?
Well, I know The Amazing Race was one, The Voice this year. I'm not sure what the third one is.
MILF Island?
Possibly.
Not unlike the Logies, I would say. In that respect.
Yeah.
Fiona, you love The Voice.
I don't think I do.
No. I'm thinking of someone else.
Yeah, probably another Fiona. Mm. Yeah. Bad luck to RuPaul's Drag Race. Mm. Was in that category, lost out. But RuPaul had a lovely cameo as the Emmy.
It was a nice
itself.
Bit.
Did you like that bit? It got a lot of stick online, but I thought it was kind of funny.
It was all right.
It's okay. It was nice seeing RuPaul. Looked amazing. Look at the contouring as usual.
Yeah. I thought that bit was funny. Also, they did have the Colbert moment where he was in the Westworld robot chambers, whatever they call them. And that was kind of funny. Like,
went on a bit.
Yeah, it did go on too long.
I was glad Westworld didn't win anything.
Well, I mean, it didn't not win anything. There was five awards given to it throughout
Which ones?
Well, I think it was more technical awards than what we saw on the actual primetime awards.
Okay. Well, I'm glad it won the technical awards. It was very good technically.
Yeah. I actually thought that Tandy Newsom was a very strong contender.
Yeah, she was all right, I guess.
I thought she was very good in that role. I mean, I was happy to see Ann Dowd take it, so it's not like we sort of lost out anything there.
I just wasn't into that show.
Yeah, I'm not a huge Westworld fan. Was there any categories of which we were really excited to see the people win? So the one that excited me was Sterling K. Brown. I was a big fan of him from the O.J. Simpson miniseries.
Yeah, he's amazing in that show. And he's also really good at these speeches.
That was a really good speech. Yeah, he got up and said, I'm a fan first and foremost, and rattled off the shows.
Yeah.
Gave a good shout out to Mad Men.
I like that he went Dick Whitman rather than as Don Draper.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you had to Google it, you're not one of our people.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, he gave a shout out to Andre Brower's character, Frank Pembleton in Homicide, which that was a good deep dive. But that's probably notable as well because Sterling K. Brown's actually the first African-American actor to win in a category since Andre Brower got it as Frank Pembleton. Mm,
I have to say that overall, my overall impression of people that were winning and the people that were nominated was it felt, I haven't crunched the numbers, but it felt a lot more diverse in terms of
no question
people of color and women, and all the good stuff that they're highlighting is the stuff that prominently features people of color and women.
Absolutely. No, abundantly. And you compare this to the Oscars.
Yeah, right?
It's not a contest. Yeah. Overwhelmingly far more diversity in the programs, in the people being nominated. Yeah, no contest.
The challenge for TV award shows is that unlike the Oscars where it's a new set of films every year, TV shows go on for years and years.
Yeah, yeah.
So this was a really notable Emmy Awards because for the first time in quite a while, there were very few lingering shows. So, I mean, even the shows that are lingering, like Modern Family, didn't get much of a look in this year. But you'd expect, like, Game of Thrones to be sweeping through, but because there was no season this year, didn't get it. So suddenly just open up the floor to a whole bunch of new faces and names.
Saturday Night Live is in its 40... second year, but has had a good year, obviously, riffing off Events of the World. So that was a huge winner.
Yeah, one of the first years that's been really sort of actually notable for a little while. Like the Daily Show and their alumni have kind of owned those categories for quite a while. But the actual relevance of SNL this year has been unquestioned. So
He was recognized, but I think John Oliver's treatment of current events is much sharper than what happens on Saturday Night Live. I mean, Alec Baldwin's Trump impression is decent, but I mean, that stuff, if anything, I don't know if it normalizes anything, but it's just very soft, toothless.
I think that's just for different audiences. So not everyone's going to be interested in any harder sort of deep dives that John Oliver will do. So, I mean, people wanting that little taste of politics, I think SNL actually services that reasonably okay. But I mean, I agree. I think it sort of softens up a lot of people in a way that is maybe a bit more offensive if you've got a horse in a race. One of the big things that a lot of TV critics will look at the end of the night, seeing which networks performed the best. Mm. So the thing for the last couple of years has been Netflix coming into these awards and really just wiping the floor. This year, they didn't quite do as well as they have in previous years. So they did get 20 wins come through, which is sizable. They actually ran second to HBO, which had 29. I guess HBO are doing it through things like Westworld, the John Oliver program. And
are you talking about nominations?
Actual wins.
Wins.
Okay. So 29 throughout. Because we're talking about the Primetime Emmy Awards as well as the technical Emmys, which are part of the Primetime that is broadcast at a different date.
I thought Hulu did really well, right? How many did Hulu get?
Hulu didn't do as well as HBO or Netflix. But for Hulu, who came kind of out of nowhere in the awards category race, they end up scoring 10 wins.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty substantial.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only network to do better than Hulu was NBC, who did 15, and all the free-to-air networks just fell under that there.
What did NBC get besides, Saturday Night Live. Oh, Saturday Night Live, and The Voice is also on NBC.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm definitely curious about, I was already kind of curious, but I'm more curious about This Is Us. I think I'd like to see that.
I think This Is Us is a fine, very popular drama. Like, you're not going to get the best performances or the deepest, darkest writing.
Is it 22 episodes?
It's a 20-plus episode run.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, like, it's traditional TV. But it's, like, a good version of traditional TV.
Okay. What does it compare to on another network drama? Is it as good as The Good Wife?
Look, I mean, I don't think it's that good. I don't think it's as clever. But it's a different audience as well. This is a weepy family drama.
So the one with the Gilmore.
Yeah, so Parenthood is probably a good point of comparison for it. Yeah. But I think This Is Us is maybe a little bit more complex in a lot of the character relationships than you found in Parenthood.
All right. What about you? Are you going to watch This Is Us?
Probably not. No.
Damn it.
No.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's really fine. Appear. I'm not going to go back to it, though, I don't think.
I watched the first one.
Oh, did you? No good?
Oh, it's fine. But I don't want to commit to that. There's other shows I've probably watched before it. So realistically, no, I'm not.
The only reason I'd go back to it is Sterling K. Brown. I just think that guy's amazing.
Yeah, he is great.
Yeah.
But that's not...
It's not reason enough.
No, I loved him in the OJ, People versus OJ.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to seeing him something else too.
I thought Feud was really good. But when you look at what it's stacked up against, it makes sense that it didn't win. But it's a pretty decent series, limited series. Anybody else see it?
Oh, I saw the first couple of episodes. I really quite liked what I saw. I don't know why I didn't finish it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't have the channels, and Whatever Happened to Baby Jane is one of my all-time favourite movies.
Yeah, it's surprising you haven't seen it.
I know, it's ridiculous, but I'll catch it. I don't want to rush these things.
I was a little bit sort of thrown in the office where we were all very excited to see Handmaids in Atlanta winning the awards. So we sit beside the programming team, and so all these guys of whom have invested in it, like pre-broadcast, like we felt that fever a little bit as they were winning these awards.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. But I got stuck a little bit with the award given to Reed Morano, who directed the first three episodes of Handmaid's Tale. Because while I was excited to see her win it, I was actually feeling a little bit bad for Kate Dennis, who was also nominated for Handmaid's Tale. Mm. But because we're Australian, we should be supporting the Australian director here. And she didn't end up getting the award, which I thought was a bit sad. Reed Morano was always going to get it.
Yeah. And, you know, it won the big one. So I think everyone can feel a little bit of ownership of that.
Yeah. If people don't know Kate Dennis, she is an Australian director, did lots of local Aussie shows like Offspring and Secret Life of Us, but she's been doing a whole bunch of US dramas in the last couple of years.
Local girl made good.
Very much so.
Yeah. So we've done the winners. What about people or shows we think were robbed, maybe didn't even figure in the nominations? So I'm going to kick this one off. I think Search Party should have been in there. Was it eligible?
Oh, look, it was certainly eligible because it aired last year, roughly around this time of the year. So it was like October, November. certainly eligible. I think that it was always going to struggle against some of the other shows in the categories, purely because it's not that well-known a show.
Mm.
And I don't think TBS really had the money to mount a huge campaign to get that awareness out there. So it's always going to fall to the wayside a little. But yeah, I think it's a huge shame. It was my show of last year.
Mm.
And yeah, it's such a shame to see that they didn't really get over the line here and get some recognition, even an AXA nomination or something like that.
Yeah.
This is going to sound like I'm just tooting the company horn, but I was surprised that the Young Pope didn't get nominated for anything.
Mm.
It's a pretty unique show.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very strange and it's really beautiful. And yeah, I thought that was weird.
I'm wondering if there's maybe an issue where it doesn't get, it can't be qualification for the Emmy Awards, but maybe the International Emmys.
Why is that?
Well, because I think HBO put some money into it, but it's primarily an international production.
Oh, I see.
So I'm not too sure. I'm just speculating. Maybe that's the reason.
Okay.
Good call.
Also, as much as I appreciate Alec Baldwin's Trump impression, Louis Anderson on Baskets is really good. That performance is something else.
Yeah. For me, the big things that are kind of missing, I think, were The Leftovers.
Yeah.
Like, if I was to pick something, I don't think it's really a contender for the best drama series of the year, but it should definitely have been nominated for some of the writing and direction that happened on that show. Performances, particularly for Carrie Coon, I just think it's amazing that she didn't get nominated there.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, just everyone really brings their A-game on that program. But there was one episode in particular which has most of the characters on a barge heading towards Australia from Tasmania, which has... I don't know how in depth we can go into what's taking place on a boat, but
it's a sex boat.
It's a sex boat.
Yeah.
And there's a it's a sex boat where they meet God at the end of the episode.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot happens.
And yeah, like, it is just this phenomenal hour of TV that should have gotten a writing award at the very least.
Yeah, that show did some of the most interesting TV of the year, definitely.
Yeah, so the big loss, I think, this year is the sex boat did not get much play in the Emmy Awards.
Not to take anything away from Elizabeth Moss or Sterling K. Brown for their lead actor and actress wins, but I love The Americans. And, Kerry Russell and Matthew Rhys were both up for awards. But, maybe in a different year when it wasn't a Handmaid's and a...
Are some years better than others with The Americans? Was this a big year for The Americans? Have you seen the show?
I have. I have seen the show, but I do love it, and they've not been rewarded yet, so...
Yeah, but the narrative for this year, though, was so much around the idea of new shows and new people being nominated for these, that The Americans kind of just feels a little bit sort of stale at this stage compared to the vibrancy of something like The Handmaid's Tale.
And it's never really had a huge following, has it? It's got a small devoted following.
It's been building.
Critically acclaimed.
Well, I think that about wraps it up. Special thanks to John Lithgow for winning the crown.
I thought you would get in your Churchill impersonation.
Playlist.
Yeah. And congratulations to John Lithgow, but Brian Cox, friend of the show, Brian Cox.
Oh, yeah, right, friend of
rival
the show.
Churchill, friend of the show. Congratulations, John Lithgow, nonetheless.
Yeah. I'm picturing Deliverance style dueling Churchills.
Well, there's a Gary Oldman one coming up soon enough too, so the three Churchills. So you can watch the Emmy Award-winning Handmaid's Tale and the Emmy Award-winning Atlanta, both at SBS On Demand.
And the Should Have Won Search Party still on SBS On Demand as
well.
That's
right. The Should Have Won. Make sure you get onto iTunes and leave us a review and subscribe while you're there. And send us an email if you have some thoughts or questions at film@sbs.com.au. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter, SBS Movies. You can find me on Twitter at Nick Bassine.
And I'm on Twitter at Anything But Fifi.
And I'm the Dan Barrett. Also, if you like this podcast, check out our sister podcast, Batman Land. Comes out every Friday. We talk about Batman.
Thanks for listening.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.